John chapter 3, starting in verse 19. Once again, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. Father, I pray that you would help us as we look into your word this morning. Help us to not just see the truth, but to also be willing to apply the truth, to live the truth. That we won't just have a head knowledge of things pertaining to you and to Christianity, but help us to live it out daily, and even as it gets harder and harder to do so in the fallen world in which we live. I pray for the strength. I pray for the grace to do that. We pray for Christians that are in countries in which they are not, do not have as much protection as we do, and that are being persecuted and killed daily. Father, help us to remember to lift them up and to pray for them. And I know I feel so often that I have become complacent in my surroundings and my thoughts, that that we as Christians will always have the freedoms that we have enjoyed. And yet it is becoming clearer that that may not be the case. And so I pray that you would prepare our hearts. I pray that you would help us to have the resolve that we need to live for you no matter what. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so we see here that willful ignorance will make the condemnation more severe for the unbeliever. And you know, it's interesting that often, and again, and let me preface this by saying, I understand the Holy Spirit does a great work. And without the guidance, without the leading of the Holy Spirit, you know, you can share Christ with people, but if the Holy Spirit's not speaking to their hearts, it's really falling on deaf ears, just to some degree. All right, and I know we can still plant the truth, we can still plant seeds. The Holy Spirit can use that down the road, and you know, there's that balance in all of that. I know back years, 30 years ago, you know, I took an evangelism class, and you know, the illustration that was given to us, which I don't agree with, but the illustration was almost like, you know, we are a, you know, as we're witnessing, as we're sharing Christ, it's, you know, the person that we're sharing Christ with is like a lock. And, you know, and basically, you know, we're just pulling our keys out and sticking a key in and sharing something. If that key doesn't work, then, you know, you take the next key and stick that in. And basically, the concept there was that, you know, you're going to find a key that unlocks them, and you're going to finally reveal the truth to them and get them to the point where they accept Christ. And I know now, after 30 years of ministry, and if you share Christ with people, you understand that doesn't always happen. You know, yes, we need to be fully aware of Scripture. We need to be able to share personal illustrations and Bible illustrations and give truth. But at the same time, if the Holy Spirit's not convicting them and doing a work in their heart, they're not going to accept Christ at that point. Right. You know, and so you can't just keep, you know, banging away, banging away, banging away, banging away, and then say, okay, you know, let's accept Christ now. You know, because a lot of times what happens is what? You know, people just, you know, I am sick of this guy. Get out of my face. I'll do whatever you tell me to do just so you leave me. And so we don't want to go there. You know, we don't want to give false assurances. But again, on the flip side, when unbelievers choose darkness, and that's what we're talking about here, the choice of light and darkness. And 2 weeks ago, we were looking back in Ephesians at how, you know, what the fruit is and how light and darkness contrast with one another. And it says that that light has come into the world, and the men, the unsaved, the unconverted, they love the darkness more than the light, it says, because their deeds are evil. And because they enjoy what they do, and because they're enjoying the darkness that they're in, they shut their eyes or they reject the light, and they won't even entertain or won't even listen to the truth about Christ or the gospel. And I'm sure you've met people like that. As soon as you say, "I'm a Christian," "I don't want to hear it." You know, and they just throw that up right away. And you know, it's, you know, they might not even know you, but it just immediately, "I don't want to hear that." You know, and I think a lot of times that's their defense mechanism. You know, maybe they've had a bad experience in the past with a Christian, or maybe they're just ingrained. We're going to look at this in a little bit, but you know, maybe they just are so comfortable with where they're at in their lives that they don't want to try to be persuaded out of that. And so they just shut their eyes and they become so defiant against God that they don't really desire anything about Him. You know, I have Job 21:14. It says, "Therefore they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways." You know, they don't even want to know about God. They don't want anything to do with His ways because they're so comfortable or so ingrained in their own ways. Matthew Henry had a couple good comments here that I liked, and you have to really think about them. But it says that the unbeliever, those that are in willful ignorance, it says they'll be judged for the knowledge they had and didn't use, but also for the knowledge they might have had but never gained. Think about that. You know, it's not just, okay, I know this, or as an unbeliever, you know, I know a little bit about Christ and I just chose to reject it. But each time someone attempts to share Christ with them or to share more with them, and they say, "I don't want to hear it, I don't want to hear it, I don't want to hear it," that's truth that they're going to answer for one day, that they could have heard, they could have received, and willfully chose to reject. And so they're going to have much more to answer for the more that they reject hearing about Christ. And then also, it's Matthew Henry says, they will be judged for the knowledge they sinned against, which of course, okay, that makes sense, but also as well as the knowledge they sinned away by their refusal to consider it. So again, what happens there is, you know, they could have heard a truth. They could have heard something that would have prevented them from committing a sin, but since they rejected the truth, since they rejected the hearing of the knowledge, that then by not hearing that led them down the path to sin, they're going to answer for that as well. And so what scripture or what passage comes to mind a little bit here, thinking of a couple of those truths right there? Something in the book of Romans. Anybody? Okay. Right. Romans 1, I believe that's in, 28:18 all the way down. It says, "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, because what may be known of God, it may be known, it's possible, they should be knowing this, is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things." Or in today, what would we say today? All right, we don't, you know, they don't worship birds and four-footed animals and creeping things so much. Okay, what else? Dennis was out handing Gideon Bibles up at UNC?
Yeah.
NC State a couple weeks ago, and thinking along those lines, what have we turned God into, the image of God?
Cosmic bellhopping.
Okay, cosmic bellhopping, or just the the gathering of knowledge and intellect. You know, I know Dennis told me, you know, that he was handing Bibles out. You know, the students were pretty readily taking them, but then a professor would come by, I don't need that, you know, and then they'd go off on him about how, you know, the Bible's full of, you know, it was a bunch of myths and garbage and, you know, who needed one, on and on. Why, you know, why is that their thought process? Because I'm so intelligent, I don't need that book. You know, I have so much knowledge, I don't need to trust in that. You know, I have my own knowledge. I have my own way of thinking. I have all my skills and doctorate and all of that. I don't need the Word of God. And so, you know, we don't, as the Greeks here, you know, and the Romans, we're not worshiping these idols per se, but we have exchanged those things for our own set of idols in today's culture and society. It says, therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. They exchanged the truth of God for the lie, worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And then God gives them up to vile passions, and it continues from there. And so, you know, as an unbeliever rejects truth, what happens? They get deeper and deeper and deeper in their ignorance, in scriptural ignorance, in godly ignorance. And they get deeper and deeper and deeper in the darkness in which they are in already. And that darkness becomes more accustomed to them. They get more comfortable in that darkness. You know, and again, it's this, you know, the illustration that I would use is, you know, this room used to be with the windows. It used to be you could walk in with the lights out and it wasn't too bad. Now, if the lights are out and you walk in, I mean, yeah, it's pretty like, wow, it's really dark in here. But, you know, if you stand at the door for a while, all of a sudden it's like, okay, I can see a little bit of shade. And I, you know, trust me, I've been through these buildings who knows how many hundreds of times. You know, the staff used to do lockup. We used to take our turns doing lockup every period, you know, every month or so. So, you know, you'd be walking hallways at with all the lights out and dark, and, you know, you kind of learn them. And I know that's hard maybe for some of you to understand, because I know I still talk to people and they're like, you know, they're in the hallway somewhere. How do you get to the auditorium again? You know, they get lost in the hallways. But, you know, even being familiar with some place, you know, when the lights are out, when you're in complete darkness, it takes a while. But what happens? The longer you stand there, the longer you wait in that darkness, the more accustomed you get to it, and the easier it is to navigate through it, and the more comfortable you become with it. And so the same is true with unbelievers.
You justify it.
And you justify it. You start rationalizing why, you know, well, you know, the lights are way over here by Paul, and, you know, maybe I won't find the right button, so I'll just kind of wait, and I'll just wait longer, and my eyes will adjust, and I'll figure it out, and I'll find what I'm looking for, and I don't really need to go way over there. And so, right, again, you know, what was Satan's whole ploy in the Garden of Eden? He twisted the truth, and then what did Eve do?
She
rationalized the truth. You know, well, you know, yeah, you know, you're right. God won't really do that. And, you know, if God's really this God of love and, you know, everything, he won't really kill us, or he won't really punish us. And, you know, and exactly, that's what we hear today.
Duke University coming out of their own seminary is, I mean, it's one of the premier ones. It's promoting doctrine of hell.
Okay.
There is.
So, yes. So, and I mean, we see that almost monthly. Somebody's caving and somebody's giving in on very biblical truths and standards.
You get the wrong bells.
Yes.
Love wins.
Right. Yes. And we're getting more and more of those because they attract crowds. That's what people want to hear. You know, and what does Scripture say? Those that tickle the ears, those that are just telling people what they want to hear. You know, they're not preaching the truth. They're not teaching the Word of God. They're just, you know, giving enticing little positive things for people to follow. All right, so everyone, it's very clear from this passage that everyone that does evil hates the light. All right, so again, when did that start? When did it start that if you enjoy evil, you hate the light?
In the Garden.
All right, right, in the Garden of Eden. So from the very beginning, look over to Job chapter 31. Gonna make you work your hand, your fingers a little bit. Job chapter 31, verses 33 and 34. Job says in verse 33, "If I have covered my transgressions as Adam by hiding my iniquity in my bosom, because I feared the great multitude and dreaded the contempt of family, so that I kept silence and did not go out at the door. Oh, that I had one to hear me. Here is my mark. The Almighty would answer me." And then he goes on in that. But the point is from the very beginning, man tried to cover his sin. And you know, what's Job saying? He's saying, you know, if I have sin in my life that I've covered, God, show me that. You know, because again, all three of his friends are telling him that. You know, they're saying, hey, you got sin in your life. You got something wrong. God's judging you. On and on. And Job's truly asking God and saying, you know, God, if I have covered sin, show me that. Yes.
Job what?
That was Job 31, verses 33 and 34. There. And so Adam and Eve covered themselves, didn't they?
Yes.
You know, and it's interesting that says that they were, you know, originally when God created them, they were naked and they weren't ashamed. There was no shame in that. There was that pure innocence. But yet when they sinned, all of a sudden it was like, oh, you know, we have to cover ourselves. We have to do something. You know, and so that, you know, they took it upon themselves to try and cover their shame. And God came, you know, God said, you know what, you can't do that. You can't cover your own shame. You can't cover your sin. Only I can do that. And so he had to sacrifice an animal and give them the coats of fur, coats of skin, to cover them. And so then next we see that evildoers seek cover for their sin out of a sense of shame and fear of punishment, just as Adam and Eve did. And we see that in Job, if you're still there. Job 24. Flip back a couple pages. Job 24 and verse 13. 24:13. "There are those who rebel against the light. They do not know its ways, nor abide in its paths. The murderer rises with the light. He kills the poor and needy, and in the night he is like a thief. The eye of the adulterer waits for the twilight, saying, 'No eye will see me,' and he disguises his face. In the dark they break into houses which they marked for themselves in the daytime." How true is that? And we know it's true because it was on the Home Alone, the very first one. All right, just kidding. All right. Sorry. just thought of that. "They do not know the light, for the morning is the same to them as the shadow of death. If someone recognizes them, they are in the terrors of the shadow of death." And so, you know, evildoers seek cover normally. And you know what? I think we're getting to a day in society where they really don't anymore. You know, I think there are about as many break-ins during the day, or probably more during the day than there are at night, because they know people aren't home during the day. And, you know, they don't want to be violent. And so they break in during the day when nobody's home because it's easier pickings for them. But again, they seek cover out of the shame or the fear of punishment. You know, normally, you know, even in a daytime break-in, and Barry, to tell me if I'm wrong here, but, you know, they'll probably pick the least obvious door or the window that isn't visible from all the neighbors. You know, and again, you know, it's not like they're just going to go, you know, people are on the street and they're going to kick the front door in. You know, they're going to try to wait until there's nobody around, until nobody, they don't think anyone is watching. They're going to pick a window or a door or an entrance that's very obscure and hidden from view. And again, I don't even think they really think through that or ask, well, why am I doing that? You know, why do I kick the back door and not the front door? But it's part of our human nature. You know, we just by sinful nature try and cover our sin and try to hide our wrongdoing. You know, and we could take that, you know, even into, you know, pornography. You know, most men aren't watching pornography in the bedroom in front of their wives. You know, hey, honey, you know, they don't do that. You know, that's where they're waiting until she goes to bed. They're going up in the bonus room. They're going into their man cave or whatever. And they're trying to hide from her or hide from their children. And then they do things in the darkness or they do things alone that they don't think anyone else can see. Saying in the book of Job, Job 38, light is a terror to evildoers. Light is a terror to evildoers. Job 38, verse 12. Down through verse 15. And again, this goes right along with what John says in John 3. He says, have you commanded the morning since your days began and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth and the wicked be shaken out of it? It takes on form like clay under a seal and stands out like a garment. From the wicked their light is withheld and the upraised arm is broken. All right, and if as you study that maybe a little bit, basically what the thought there that Job has is, you know what, the evildoers don't like when the sun comes up. You know, because it reveals what they've been doing. You know, it reveals the wickedness that they have been participating in or for what they've done the night before. And so they don't like the light. And again, whether it's the daylight coming or the light of the gospel. And again, we have to see that parallel. We have to see the conjunction between the two. Okay, and then we see that light is sent into the world to reprove the evil deeds of sinners. Ephesians 5:13, it says, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. And I'm going to come back to that in a little bit, talk a little bit more about that, I think on my next slide or two after that. But then lastly, we see that light is sent into the world to make sin exceeding sinful. And Romans chapter 7 and verse 13, I'll read that for you. Save you a minute from turning there unless you got that. But it says, has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. All right, what's Paul talking about here? What is making sin exceedingly sinful?
The law.
The law. And how does, you know, how did he know the law? He studied it, right? You know, the light of the law, the revealing of the law. If he was ignorant of the law, it wouldn't condemn him in his own mind, because he doesn't know it. But because he knows the law, because the light was revealed to him through the Old Testament law, he says, you know what? Sin is even more sinful, is exceedingly sinful. And again, for us today, you know, we must understand that, again, to whom much is given, much is required. And that shouldn't be an excuse to say, well, I just want to remain ignorant, so I'm not judged for so much. You know, it should be just the opposite. It should be the encouragement that we want to know more so that we can produce more, so that we can honor God more, so that we can do more for Him, and so that more rewards can be received and more productivity can be accomplished for the will of God. Yes, ma'am. The light of the gospel.
And just what if there's one here? I mean, that's my question. Yeah.
It's very difficult because, again, that was the preface. Without the Holy Spirit convicting them, it's almost impossible. Yeah, that was. I remember as a teenager, we used to. And if I don't know if you grew up in a Baptist church, maybe you did this also. But when I was in a youth group growing up, we had. You know, we would meet on a Friday night and we would go to the mall, which is totally illegal now. But, you know, we'd take a whole busload of us to the mall and we'd walk around looking for teenagers and hand out tracts and share the gospel with them. And I remember I asked my youth pastor that one night. I said, you know, what if somebody says they don't believe in the Bible? And he said, walk away. And I was like, man, that's rough. You know, and I was like, that's just rude. But, you know, but then he explained, he said, well, if they don't even believe the Bible, if they don't believe that God's the creator, he said, right, you don't even have a place to start with them.
I mean, in Ephesians, we're told dead.
Right.
Dead men don't reach out. Dead men don't ask questions. Dead men rock.
Right.
And it takes awakening by the Holy Spirit so we can't take the responsibility of saving people. That's not our job. Our job is to present the gospel. They tell you how to point, that's okay, present the gospel.
And right, and so we, you know, and again, I mean, we keep sharing the truth. We keep giving it to them as long as they'll listen. You know, and at some point, you know, if they just say, you know, listen, I just don't want to hear it anymore. I mean, you stop or you wait for a very appropriate moment just to share testimony or share something that the Lord's done for you where it's not really trying to overburden them or throw it in their face, but you know, you're just doing that in very casual conversation. And I would say my mom is very good at that. I mean, she's very good at just bringing up in conversation things God has done for her, you know, at the doctor's office, or you know, she's having a therapy appointment because she had elbow surgery a while ago, and you know just be talking to somebody and you know, so you know, how's, you know, and she just casually brings Christ up and starts talking, you know, and then, you know, if they go, well, you know, I don't really believe that and whatever. Well, okay, you know, she's not going to force it down their throat. But often, at least, it opens the door and it gives her the opportunity to continue the conversation.
But there's also that point that if you do face someone that says, look, I'm sick and tired of hearing this. I don't want to hear about it anymore. There's a point where Jesus said, knock the dust off your sandals.
Right.
Not for the others before the Father. Mm-hmm. And it just theologically it adds to their condemnation, but until they just adamantly tell you no.
Right. And I mean, and I would say, like, as a coworker, you know, if a coworker just says, you know, hey, don't talk to me about Christ anymore, or you know, I'm going to turn you in. Well, okay, at that point, you know, you're going to have to be really careful because, you know, you don't want to get hauled into HR and fired because of something like that. But, you know, on the flip side, you know, if it's your neighbor, you just, you know, you keep throwing it out there and they can move. if they don't like it. All right. All right, so next, Christ is hated because sin is loved. You know, in verse 20, it says, for everyone practicing evil does what? They hate the light. They hate the light because they practice evil. You know, because of their love for sin, the result of that is their hatred of Christ. And so we see those that do evil, that they resolve to continue doing evil. You know, if they love their evil, they're going to keep in that, keep doing that. And again, what negative attribute causes that?
Pride.
All right, their pride, exactly. The pride of man's heart convinces them, or rationalization or whatever, convinces them, you know what? The life that I'm living is okay. And the life that I'm living, I'm happy with it, I'm good with it, and nobody's going to tell me any differently. You know, nobody's going to tell me that the life that I live, the things that I do, and you know, we hear that, what I do in my home is my business. Oh, well, maybe to some degree. But again, as a Christian, is it? No. What you do in your home is still dependent upon the truths of God. You know, yes, it's your home, but God expects you to live for Him, and God expects you to honor Him in your home. And so it is the pride that causes those that are doing evil to continue in that and refusing to let someone steer them out of that or get them out of that evil. Those that do evil will not listen when their faults are revealed. All right? And again, because of their pride, when someone shares with them and says, hey, this is wrong. You know, what you just did is wrong. That pride, the pride that they have makes them refuse to admit their error. You know, and again, I think a lot of the, and you can disagree with me, I guess, but we hear so much today about the police, and how so many people are against the police. But you know what, my thought in all of that is, why are they getting pulled over so much?
Yeah.
Why are they even having confrontations with police? I look at my own self and I think, every time that I've got pulled over, I pretty much deserved it. I was doing 58 and a 45, and I shouldn't have been doing that. So I'm not, it's not the policeman's fault. It's not his fault that I was sinning. It's not his fault that I was doing wrong. They profile you. No, I'm just kidding.
They're serious.
But yeah. But what's amazing is there's almost always a cause when you get pulled over or when you have an encounter with a police officer. I mean, there almost always is a reason for that. And if we go back to the point of, if we just would do what's right, if you obey the laws, guess what? Very likely you won't have a bad encounter. But what happens is someone is speeding or someone is driving irrationally or erratically and they get pulled over. And then what are they going to, the policeman comes up and says, hey, you were doing, 58 to 45. No, I wasn't. Well, yes, you were. No, I wasn't. Your radar's wrong. And they start the confrontation.
I was doing 65.
Yeah. Or you've been drinking tonight. You're driving. No, I wasn't. And then so begins the confrontation. And so, the refusal to admit the faults. And again, we're talking more about the unbelievers here than believers, so we won't make too many practical applications there to us today as Christians. But as far as that goes, but that's the problem with many unbelievers, is that when they are confronted with sin, they make excuses for it or they contest that. They don't think that it's wrong. It's not wrong to lie. That's just part of life. That's just, because, if I told my coworker that when they said, hey, do I look nice today? And if I said, no, you really don't, then they're going to be mad at me. And, it's going to be a miserable day at work. And so I just say, yeah, you look great, because I just want to have a nice day. And so, they justify that. They don't see an issue with that. They don't think that's wrong. And we could escalate that. We'll just do something simple. All right. So then we see that those that do evil, they don't come to the light because of their hatred for the light. And so when you love something, you don't want to try something different. And why is that? We referenced this just a little bit ago, a couple slides back, but I wanted to come back to it. When you love something, you don't want to try something different. But why is that?
Scared.
All right, you're scared. Exactly. There's fear involved there. Okay, exactly. You're accustomed to whatever it is. I like Taco Bell. I go there. If there was a new Mexican restaurant somewhere, I probably wouldn't go try it. Why? Because I like Taco Bell. And I like to go there. I'm accustomed to that. I'm not afraid to go there. The manager knows me there. The other day there was a really long line and I'm standing there waiting my turn and all of a sudden I hear Mr. Steve and I was like, that's the manager's voice. So I looked up and I order the same thing all the time and he goes, He goes, come over here. So I walked over. He goes, here, this one's on me today. And I was like, wow, thanks. And he had my order just right. And so, you know, we become accustomed. I like to sit at the same table with, you know, three napkins and whatever, you know. So. But if that table, somebody's sitting there, I don't ask them to move, okay? I do sit somewhere else. So I'm okay with that. But you know, we get habits. We get accustomed to things. And we get in our little patterns of behavior. And we get, you know, we're afraid to get out of that. We don't want to. We're accustomed to that. You know, we don't want to try something new. You know, because... whether it's ignorance, you know, somebody might say, hey, this other, you know, Mexican restaurant's way better than Taco Bell. Well, you know what? I'm being ignorant. No, it's not. You know, Taco Bell's the best. All right, maybe it is better. I'm just, you know, at that point, you're just being ignorant and you just don't know. You don't have anything to compare to. What? Okay. Yes. Can we do one of them like every day? Harold? All right. Okay, they're just closed-minded. You know, they are so enjoying the sin that they're in, they just don't want to listen to anything else. They just close their minds to that. And so, you know, this the same thing. Those who love darkness don't even want to try the light. You know, they don't even, when you present Christ, they don't even want to try something different than what they're used to. Again, for all the same reasons. You know, they're afraid to try something different. You know, well, what if it doesn't work out? You know, I've heard about you Christian people and, you know, maybe, you know, that's just too much. And, you know, I'll have to give up this, and this. And, you know, they don't understand that through the power of the Holy Spirit, they won't even want to do those things anymore. But initially, when they're first confronted with that, you know, the fear of, well, you know, my whole life's going to change, you know, everything and all my friends, you know, it's just the fear of that. Those things. And again, the ignorance of not knowing that the Holy Spirit will make that happen. Denise.
You just said it. A lot of so much of that with one of my sons. His whole social circle, everybody he's close to, is drinking and gambling. He had to change every person he knew. He had to go to a leader. It's just too hard.
Right. And it's just they're not willing to make the effort, realizing that as the Holy Spirit changes them, that they will form a whole new group of friends and have people that are reaching out to them. And so when you love something, you don't want to try something different often. And then on the flip side of the coin, it says those who do the truth or do truth are drawn to the light, and those who are drawn to the light do truth. And we see here that, you know what, truth does not seek corners. You know, because what's in the corners?
Darkness.
The shadows. All right? If you're in a round room, chances are there is no shadows there. There shouldn't be, or very little, as opposed to a square or rectangled room. And so there's nowhere to hide in that circumstance. Truth desires scrutiny. You know, it always, when you desire truth, you want things to be clear and open. Truth confirms and comforts those who walk in it. And again, we have to see the positive side of that. You know what? I want to know the truth because it's going to comfort me. You know, as Pastor said this morning, you know what? We shouldn't be afraid to die or suffer and be persecuted and die. Why? Because I know I have eternal life. You know, I know that I believe, I have faith that what is beyond this life will be a whole lot better than this life. And so I don't fear death. I may not enjoy the process of dying, but I shouldn't fear death itself, knowing that I have eternal life. And so the truth comforts me in that. Truth reveals the character of a good man or woman because they act truly and sincerely in all that they do. Truth is sought after by those who come to the light. So again, when we come to the light, then the light is revealed in us, and then we want to do the truth. We want to know the truth. We want the truth to change us. And so we have the desire to be open and honest and not hide anything. And then when we're doing truth, the willingness to know the truth and have our deeds made manifest, and you can look at Psalm 26:2 on your own. But David basically is praying and says, you know what, reveal in me. You know, show me God, show me truth, show me where I'm off base. You know, I want to do your will. I want to know the truth. So very quickly, what's our application here? Well, realize that light brings an absolute source of truth. You know, the world today is going to say that's not true, that there is no absolute truth. But as believers, we've got to stand firm on the fact that, yes, there is absolute truth. We've got to stand firm on the fact that truth condemns sin. You know, and as Walter mentioned earlier, you know, the Rod Bells of this world, you know, that, you know, it doesn't matter, all roads lead to heaven kind of thought. Well, that's not in Scripture. The truth and the light condemns wrong, condemns sin. Truth guides our daily decisions. You know, and again, so why is it important to know the truth? Why is it important to know the light, to see the light? So that our daily decisions are clearer and easier to be made. You know, the truth, the light provides illumination to learn more about God. It allows us to handle being exposed to the light, as we talked about earlier. In the darkness, we get accustomed to that. Well, you know what? The opposite is true. You know, when you're in a bright, or when you're in a room that's, you know, semi-translucent or semi-whatever, you know, as you adjust to that, the light gets brighter, you adjust to that. And then as the light gets brighter, you adjust to that. And so it's the opposite direction as well. So the more truth that you learn and apply, you can handle more truth. And then you apply that, and then you can handle more truth. So it gets brighter and brighter and brighter. And, you know, at some point, we get ushered into heaven. And there are some verses up there. We didn't have time to read them this morning. I'm over past my time. And so let's pray. Father, I pray that you would bless, help us to take what we've learned about the light and the truth, to apply it, to use it. Help us not to be afraid of the light, but to find comfort in it and find comfort in truth, and to be willing to share our faith. And then, you know, as we said, when people refuse it or reject it, may we be kind and courteous and be willing to answer questions or to share still with them to the point in which they allow. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. You are dismissed.